Jim Miller, Pat Kerwin, Moving the Chains, SiriusXM NFL Radio. Really enjoyed the segment last week and really enjoyed the going to enjoy the segment this week as you break down one of the two of the best offenses in the National Football League. How you been this week, Coach?
I'm great, guys. Last week was fun. We kind of nailed the game almost exactly the way it unfolded, and hopefully we can do the same this week.
Yeah, you're being challenged with this big-time game, but Jim and I were just talking about the other feedback we were getting from people, and I know Jim wanted to talk to you about this first.
Yeah, I wanted to let the listeners know, Coach. So this segment is brought to you by In the Trenches. It's sponsored by ProCoach.network, and ProCoach Network believes quality coaching is really important. For a limited time, they're offering video analysis for just $30. Players of all levels of high school, college, and pro can be evaluated by NFL experienced coaches who offer tips and help improve your game. All you have to do is go to www.procoach.network and sign up for ProAvail. So, Coach, with that said, let's get into tonight's matchup. And you look at the keys of some of the what's going to happen in today. You mentioned about a lot of eight-man fronts, loaded boxes, and two very different approaches by these two teams tonight. So maybe explain that to the listeners of what you're seeing on the tape.
Yeah, the both of these teams are excellent running teams. And they take two very different approaches. And let me give you a little historical background here. Probably the NFL game has changed in the last 5 years. Over the last 5 years, you see almost exclusively extra man in the box. Sometimes you're called eight-man fronts. But I want to just briefly explain what that means and then talk about it further. When there's an extra guy in the box, there's only one safety. They take the other safety and they put him down near the line of scrimmage. And he's an extra guy that can handle all the gaps, assuming there's eight gaps in a run defense. Now, what that does is it singles up the wide receivers, all right, but you put an extra safety down in there to help be an unblocked guy, if you will, to make the tackle on all the running plays. Now, not long ago, that wasn't true. When I came in the league 25-some years ago, it was almost all exclusively two deep safeties, where there was not a safety in the box, the extra guy. And what teams would do is they would double receivers, right? And, you know, they would force you into checking. If there were two safeties deep, you'd run. If there was one safety deep, you would pass, right? Well, those days are no longer. Everyone is very consumed with stopping the run right now. I think that's why the passing numbers are way up right now. And some teams are having a hard time running the ball. But the teams, and these two teams in particular, have figured out a way to even run the ball against defenses where, on paper, you should not be able to run. And so that's why I think they're a little bit ahead of the game, and they only have one loss each. So why don't we go ahead and start talking about the different approaches?
Yeah.
Kansas City's approach. All right, and this is kind of interesting. Two very different things, as I mentioned. Kansas City is more similar to the college game, meaning they use spread formations. They spread everyone out as wide as they can, and they effectively read somebody. All right, now you hear different people talk about RPOs, run pass options. What are those things? Well, what you're really doing is you could run an outside play to the right, and you wouldn't block the linebacker farthest away to the left, but the quarterback who's in the gun, he would get the snap and he would look at that backside linebacker. And if that backside linebacker was staying home back in his zone, then he would hand off to the back. So now you'd be able to run the ball away and you'd be able to block everyone. And that guy you've eliminated, who's the unblocked guy, is kind of sitting back for the pass. So you got a good running play. Or they would, you know, be in the gun and put the ball in the back's belly, and they'd look at that backside linebacker. And if he started running with the back, then they would go ahead and pull the ball and throw it to the receiver on that side. And that receiver on that side is running either some kind of pop pass straight ahead, or he's running a slant on the backside, or they're doing a combination with a slant and a flat or an out route or something that takes advantage of that backside linebacker, could be the safety, but that backside linebacker area player is leaving his zone. so then they have a pass. So what they've really done is they put a player in conflict, right? And they say, yes, you got an extra man down here, but we're going to read a guy so that you can't be right. You know, if you want to run with the ball, we'll throw it. If you want to hang back and play the pass, then we'll go ahead and hand off and run it. So they do that on the backside of the plays. They do it sometimes on the front side of their plays where they read an area, whether it'll throw a slant right over the voided area if the backer steps up. So that's really what they're doing, and it's a great deal. Now, our guys at the Pro Coach Network did some research, and Kansas City has run 155 of these plays this year for 949 yards. Every time they call one of these run-pass option plays, the shotgun, read a linebacker to either pass or handoff, they've averaged 6.12 per call, which is very high for a first and second down play. The run averages, they've run for 545 yards, halfway to 1,000, at 5.2 per carry. Which is crazy. But the one that's even higher than the passes, once again, people are consumed with stopping runs, right? The passes, they're averaging 9.9 yards per pass attempt on an RPO. Now, I don't know if you've talked about it back in your research before, Jim and Pat, you probably have, that there's a fellow in the Wall Street Journal, I don't know his name, but he's been doing research for 20 years. At the end of every year, he swears that the number one determining statistic on winning is yards per pass attempt. Mm. All right. And now, I don't know. That's important, obviously. So is turnovers. You know, who knows which is more important. But what I'm saying is if you're averaging 9.9 yards per pass attempt, that's pretty good.
It is good, Paul. And, I want to take you to the next stop from there. So now that I am on defense and I'm playing Kansas City and I understand their concept and their principle, so here's my question. Can I dictate to you what I want you to do by what I do with that read player? Can I basically say we're gonna crash down and make you pull the throw? So I'm always intrigued. It's the old triple option days. Like, do you want him to pitch or do you want him to keep? And you figured out in time how to do that. Where are defenses like tonight? What are the Rams thinking they want to do? They understand this. Maybe they're even listening to you right now, Paul.
Well, I don't think so. Well,
I don't. Well, I do.
Let me back up a little bit. All right. Because tonight is I'm going to give you a different answer on tonight. The majority of first and second down defenses in the NFL are zone defenses. And RPOs are designed to attack zone defenses, to put the backside linebacker in conflict, whether to play the run or to play the zone. The same problems he has on play action pass, all right? And that's really what it's best to defend. Some players are very good at disguising and then running out. The problem, different than the wishbone path that we remember, which I coached many years ago in college, all right, and the option game, is that these RPOs are generally across the backfield sweeps. And if that backside linebacker doesn't go right now, he can't get there, right? Yep. So if he kind of stalls a little bit to try to make you think that, oh, okay, I want to hand it off and then go run the play down, he typically can't get there. Likewise, the slants are so fast and so abrupt that if he starts to flow and then turn around and run out into a slant, he can't get there. So that's where it's a little bit different now. So what you're really kind of seeing is linebackers against these kind of, and the last few years I've run a number of these plays, right? What you get is linebackers who are just standing back there flat-footed. It's like they don't know what to do. They don't know whether to fill or to go to the slant. Maybe they're standing there so that they can play either or, whichever one the quarterback reads equally well and not be out of position too much. But whenever you get linebackers just standing at their depth, and they're playing a little bit deeper. Linebackers are now playing a little bit deeper than traditionally because if they step up, forget it, they can't get behind the slants. That's against zone defense. Now, what is good? How do you stop RPOs? Well, the best defense to stop RPOs just happens to be Wade Phillips' favorite defense, cover one, man-to-man. Because what happens is whoever has that back, that backside linebacker typically is a guy who's lined up right across from him in the gun. When you start to hand the ball off to that back, he's going to run over there and tackle him. He's his man. He's got the man-to-man coverage. And then you've got the corner or the safety, whether it's two or one receiver, playing inside tight jam press man-to-man and roughing up the receivers and really trying to force the quarterback to throw it into a really tight window. And you have a chance of giving up big plays, but you also have a chance of, you know, not having real consistent plays as well. So man-to-man cover one is probably the best defense against these RPOs, and I'm sure that's what Wade Phillips is planning on doing tonight.
Yeah, and it's interesting because I've seen I'm glad you mentioned that, Coach, about first and second down being zone and more third down is man-to-man, because I've seen a lot of teams now running the RPOs where they're not even blocking the guys. They're running off trusting that they're in man, and they're just taking those guys out of the blocking situations as they just run them off the line of scrimmage. And maybe if you can discuss what Andy Reid does with the motions and shifts, because a lot of that is to displace the linebackers when you've got all these jet sweeps and it looks like it's going to be a run, and then it's an RPO look where they're faking it and then throwing it. But a lot of that stuff, or it could be a shovel pass that Andy Reid, I think he's kind of made that in vogue with what he does with Kelsey, and a lot of teams are copying that right now, that they're trying to displace that linebacker that you mentioned that is in man-to-man coverage, and it kind of catches them off guard, and they get a big gaping run at the end of the day.
Yeah, you're exactly right, Jim. They do a whole bunch of shifts and motion and then shift, a double shift. And what they're trying to do is they're trying to tell the quarterback, okay, let's put it this way. Typically in man-to-man coverage, all right, the safety covers a tight end man-to-man, and a running back is covered by a linebacker, right? Okay, if you spread them out and the quarterback sees, oh, geez, there's a linebacker walking way out there on that running back. Why the hell is he out there? Well, the reason he's out there is because it's man-to-man, all right? So now he shifts. He brings the formation back in, and they're able to give the quarterback the read so he knows, hey, it's man-to-man. I'm probably going to throw it.
Yeah,
and he makes the read simpler, and or they can get to an ideal play to give them a tip of what they might like to do, and and that's part of that shovel pass that they're running with Kelsey. A lot of teams are running that. I copied it, but that's okay because Andy copied it from of all places, the University of Utah. We used to call that the Utah shovel years ago when. It's true. When the coach, now this is embarrassing because it slipped my mind. Who's the coach of Ohio State?
Urban Meyer.
My daughter goes to school there. Okay, Urban Meyer. Yeah. Okay, so Urban Meyer ran that at the University of Utah, ran at Florida, and ran at Ohio State.
Alex Smith.
Yeah, it's a Utah shovel. Yeah, and they had Alex Smith in Kansas City, so there it is.
Yep. Let me go to the other side. Let's talk a little bit about every time I watch Grow, we were talking to your old guy, Whitworth, the other day, and they were running that wide play, and Whitworth somehow landed out in front. He knocked the guy out of bounds. But we started talking about Gurley and the width of that running game. I know you know that stuff inside out, so I want to get into that, what they're trying to do with Gurley. Then I want you to tell me how Kansas City's going to deal with it.
Okay. All right. Now, the Rams' approach to these extra box players is completely different, all right? And the play, instead of spreading everyone out and reading someone, they like to bunch everybody in, all right, so that they can get a blocker on these extra safety that's down near the box, all right? And, okay, well, people have been doing that forever, right? Well, here's the Rams' approach. The base play that they run, more than anything, is they'll run that wide zone, but they'll bring somebody across the backfield, whether it's a tight end coming across to cut off the backside. So if they're running a play to the right, Gurley wide to the right, they'll be bringing a tight end, a running back, a receiver starting from the right and going all the way back to the left to cut off the backside. All right. Now, what does that do? Well, couple things. Number one, they have everyone else in tight bunch splits, all right, so that they're able to get on that extra safety. But that bringing the tight end across the backfield disrupts the reads of the defense, because ever since guys were little kids, they were told if someone comes across the backfield, that's probably where the ball's coming. The ball's probably going to follow that guy, whether it's a counter or a cutback play or a lead play or what have you. So defenders, typically, when a guy goes across the backfield to the wrong direction, they start to set that way. All right? Well, if they set that way and you hand off to Gurley going to the right, they're short a gap.
They're already leveraged, every one of them.
Yeah, so that hesitation caused by the defense gives their tight split receivers time to get on the extra safety who's down in the box. They don't know if it's a naked. They don't know if it's a counter. They don't know if it's a cutback play. They don't know if it's a wide zone. Once again, you've put the defense in conflict. The linebackers are deep. The safeties are deep. They're standing there. Which of these plays is it? Most of the time, almost 3 out of 4 of those plays, the Rams are handing it off to Gurley running a wide zone. And then his wide zone, he runs at the tight end area. And if it's there, he takes it. And if not, he sticks his foot in the ground and goes north. And some guy will likely be out of his gap, because defenses like more than anything cheating. They like seeing what they believe is a play and then pursuing to the play quickly. Defenses don't like standing there flat-footed waiting to figure out which play it is. So they do a great job of making all those plays look alike.
Well, that causes Jim to get into this conversation, Paul, because Jim's going to tell you that every one of their pass plays look exactly like their run plays.
I'll tell you what, they're awesome, Coach. They're at selling it, man. They can sell it. They look exactly the same.
Yeah. So that's why they're good. So there's two completely different approaches, you know. And
which defense and tonight, Paul?
You asked how's Kansas City going to stop it. Well,
yeah.
The only way to stop that is they have to, you know, they're going to stop it in a way if they stop it. The way to stop it's like this. I remember reading in Belichick's book when they beat the greatest show on earth, Mike Martz's Super Bowl team that ran every shift, formation, look known to mankind. It was very confusing to the defense where, you know, they stressed. I remember reading, they stressed, play your gap. Do not play the play. Do not do what your eyes see, which is very difficult, especially for good players to do, because good players are programmed. They see something, they go. But really, to stop the Rams' style of offense, you have to play your gap and play your coverage and trust that your assignment and your discipline is going to work. And if one guy says, oh, geez, I think it's this play, and he guesses wrong, there's a gash.
Yeah. Well, in terms of, as we move on here, in terms of the specific matchups, let's just start with the Rams' offensive tackles. When you look at Justin Houston, he'll be over right tackle, Rob Havenstein, and then Andrew Whitworth. Look at how well, obviously you know him well for days in Cincinnati, but man, he's been tremendous out there for the Rams as well. He'll be taking on Dee Ford in this matchup tonight.
Yeah, I think this is a great matchup. I think Houston on Havenstein. Havenstein's having a really good year. Houston obviously is always good. I went back and I watched every single pass rush that Havenstein got beat on this year, and there aren't a lot of them. The few that he does is when he goes to jump, which means he goes at the guy real aggressive, and if the guy has a super quick move, it's a problem. All right, he had a hard time with Von Miller. All right,
Welcome to the club.
I hate to say it. Yeah, I know. I'm with you. But I hate to say it, but Houston is more similar to Von Miller than not. You know, Houston's a terrific quick rusher. And so it's going to be interesting to see if he wants to take that approach again. You know, so that's I kind of have that one leaning towards Houston a little bit. Whitworth on Ford, I coached Whit his entire career at Cincinnati. And he was the best pass blocker in the league that whole time, according to PFF grades. But he, the only guys that give Whitworth a problem are short guys, because Whit's 6'8". who are exceptionally quick, who play on turf on the road. Right now, Ford is 6'2", so he's on the shorter side, right? And he's super quick. That's a problem, right? But it's on grass and it's in L.A. All right, so I think what we'll do fine against Ford tonight. Although Ford is having a terrific season, he's having a monster season, really.
Give me the last one I want from you tonight is the matchup. Who's blocking Donald, and how would you play? Would you run at Donald? Would you run away from Donald? Would you trap Donald? What would you do if you were facing Donald tonight with the personnel that Kansas City has?
Yeah, I think that's a tough one. I think the Donald-Sue matchup, it's the best pair of defensive tackles in the league, and I think it's fair to say that Wiley and Irving might be the weakest set of guards in the league. I think that's a big tilt for the Rams. Donald, I'm the wrong guy to ask. I got to tell you this story. Last time I played Donald, I must have spent 10 hours. I couldn't find a team that was able to double-team him effectively, no matter what technique it was. You know, there's 100 ways to double-team, right? So I must have spent 10 hours. I was on a mission that week, and I was like, hey, guys, this is going to work. Donald hasn't seen this technique that we're going to do, and I'm telling you, it's going to work. It didn't work. So, I don't know. I mean, he's a great player. He's really great.
Who do you like tonight? Now that we're going to wrap this up, we have to get to a commercial, but who do you like tonight and why?
In the game tonight?
Yeah.
You mean which team do I like to win?
Yeah.
I'm not real good at that. I'm real good at line matchups and all that kind of stuff. I guess if I had to pick it, I'd pick Kansas City.
Ooh, thanks, Coach. You got me feeling better because I picked them two over Pat.
I'm not real good at picking.
I'm going to go back to his original statement. I'm not real good at this.
Yeah, well, hey, 1 year, years ago, when this was still legal, all right, our neighborhood did a little pool, you know, and, you know, everyone kind of picked the teams. We're going to win, and we had a bye week, and I said, what the hell? I came in dead last. Out of like 20 people. My wife beat me because she likes the color of the Vikings uniforms better. I mean, come on. So
Paul,
there's a saying that I believe. Those who bet on NFL games live in cardboard boxes.
You know, hey, you don't live in a cardboard box. You know what you're talking about, and you always bring our listeners to a special place where they get a chance to watch tonight. You think everyone is going to watch those guards from Kansas City to see if they can handle these guys. Paul, thank you very much, my friend.
Sure. Okay.
And for all the listeners out there, just go to www.procoach.network and you can sign up for a limited time. They're offering video analysis. You can get players of all levels, high school, college, pro, can be evaluated by an NFL experienced coach who will offer the tips to improve your game. So again, procoach.network.